Well, if I was to tell you that before you walk out of here this morning, you would walk out with your weight in precious gemstones, I'd have your attention. See, a lot of heads looked up when I said that. I would have your attention for the rest of this time. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to get back to that. But you know what? Man has always been allured by colorful gems and precious stones. We've always been drawn to that reflection of the light, that radiance, that luster that comes from precious stones, from colorful gems. But you know what? Those colorful gems, those precious stones, those things, they're not as colorful and they're not as beautiful when they are first mined. It's not until that they are prepared. It's not until they are cut properly. It's not until they are polished for presentation. It's not until that time and until that moment that their true beauty begins to show and that you see those amazing colors come to pass. That same thing is true for you and I. Just as the same way that gems have to be cut properly, they have to be prepared, they have to be polished. That same thing is true for you and I. We are the colorful gems. We are the precious stones in Jesus that He is using to build His kingdom. He's using you as precious stones to build His spiritual house. He has prepared you individually to be a radiant gemstone, a precious stone for Jesus Christ. And as we serve Jesus as stewards, as we serve Him as stewards, we become those stones, those precious gems that He is building His house with today. So let's do a quick review. And it's a quick review because it's a review of everything we've learned so far this month. Really quickly. Some of this should sound very familiar to you. Our lives are not our own. For we've been purchased by Jesus Christ at the price of His blood. We are stewards who serve Jesus, but we don't serve Him. When you say serve, people get that mindset of slaves. We don't serve Him as slaves. We serve Him from the position of sonship. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. In all of His victories, we are joint heirs with Him. Jesus has made us stewards of this life and all that pertains to this life. He's made us stewards of every one of His victories. He's made us stewards of His promises, of His power, and of His authority. And we also saw that we are instructed. Knowing that we are stewards of all that, we are instructed to expand the place of our dwelling. We are instructed to expand the place of our tent, to stretch out, to make room for more of what Jesus has for us, including making room for more of that supernatural power of Jesus Christ to flow through us. Now, we concluded last week by looking at Isaiah chapter 54. And there we left that with the understanding that in Isaiah chapter 54, and there was a lot that was there that pertains to being stewards, but in Isaiah 54, we saw that there was a truth for those hearing this word, hearing that word from Isaiah 54, there's a truth for those who were hearing it at the time that Isaiah was speaking it. We also saw that there's an additional revelation for you and I who hear and read those words today as New Covenant believers. And we also saw that this is tied to yet a further disclosure, another truth, a truth for the future about what is yet to come. And we saw that from John in the book of Revelation. So let's look at that timeline of truth. And it all starts in Isaiah chapter 54. We looked at verses 11 and 12. Isaiah 54, 11 and 12. Now here Isaiah is speaking about the city of Jerusalem. But we also see that he's speaking about us. It starts with Jerusalem. O you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and your foundations with sapphires. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all of your walls of precious stones. Isaiah speaks of Jerusalem, and he speaks of Jerusalem at the very moment when Isaiah is speaking. He's talking about Jerusalem at that very moment in time. But he also talks about a day that is yet to come, a day that he sees ahead, a day where the colorful gems and the precious stones are going to be used. He sees that day where God will build with those colorful gems and those precious stones. And we noted at the end of last week that that sounds very similar to what we see John and what John describes in the book of Revelation when he is talking about the coming of the new Jerusalem. So, let's read that. We see that in the book of Revelation. This is Revelation chapter 21. We're going to read verses 18 through 21. And listen to some of these similarities. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was of pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundations was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase. I don't know what that is, but I just like the name of that. Chrysoprase. Man, that's going to be a great stone. Chrysoprase. Chrysoprase. The 11th, jacinth. The 12th, amethyst. Those are all hard to say. That was the hardest part of the entire morning, was making sure I could pronounce all those right. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. So Isaiah was talking about Jerusalem at that moment in time that he was speaking. But here we see John. John is speaking about Jerusalem that is to come with the return of Jesus Christ. Isaiah is speaking about Jerusalem from the old. John is speaking about the new Jerusalem that is yet to come. There is a time that is there in between. And that's exactly what Isaiah is speaking about in that second part that we saw when Isaiah is talking about when he's looking ahead. This is exactly what Isaiah is talking about in Isaiah chapter 54 when he's looking ahead towards the colorful gems and the precious stones that the Lord is using to build that wall. That is what he's seeing. Now, when Isaiah refers to the gemstones, and when you see John refer to those gemstones, it sounds really similar. But the two are talking about two distinctly, it sounds similar, but they're talking about two very distinctly different times, different eras, different dispensations, and we'll talk about that later. But it's talking about two distinctly different times. Now, we know this is true in part because if you look at what Isaiah says, Isaiah is only talking about and making reference to the exterior part of Israel. He's talking about the foundation of the wall. He's talking about the walls itself. He's talking about the gates and he's talking about the pinnacles. But when John is talking about the new Jerusalem, John is talking about the exterior, but he's also talking about the interior of the city. And we see an example of that when he talks about the street of gold, like transparent glass. That's on the inner part of the city. And we also see a greater truth, a greater evidence of this, because we see that John is also talking about a greater, a more important element on the interior of the city. And we see that in the very next verse. So look at Revelation chapter 21, and we're going to read verse 22. But I saw no temple in it. He's talking about the interior. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. In Isaiah's day, so when Isaiah spoke his prophetic word, in Isaiah's day, under the old covenant, under the law, there was an actual physical temple in Jerusalem. And that was the heart of the city of Jerusalem. It was the center of all religious life throughout Israel. In the New Jerusalem that John speaks of, in the New Jerusalem we see that there is no temple. Because the Lord and the Lamb are the temple. They are the center of all. So we see the old with the physical. And we see what's in the future with no temple. But understand and see this. There is also a time. there is also an era, there is a dispensation, a time period, a relevant time period that is between the two. There's a time period that is between. It's between the old covenant and the physical temple. And it's between that and it's between the age to come, where there is no temple, because the Father and the Son are the temple of the Lord. That time period, that moment in between, that is exactly what Isaiah is prophesying about in Isaiah 54. That's what he's talking about when he talks about those colorful gems and when he talks about those precious stones. That's exactly what he's talking about. He's talking about that which is after the old covenant, after the law, and it is for the church age. It's for right now. It is for today in this church age, the day and the era when we are all of the new covenant in Jesus Christ. So we see that there is the old, there is that which is yet to come. But when Isaiah is talking about those gemstones, those precious stones, he's talking about today. He's talking about right now. And these are the materials that Jesus is using to build his house. These are the things that he is using to build his spiritual house, to do and accomplish what he is doing. And it's today, in this new covenant, today, in this covenant, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you saw the old covenant where there was a physical temple. We saw what is yet to come when the Father and the Son are the temple. But what Isaiah is talking about when he's talking about those gemstones, he's talking about today, when you and I, this church age, when we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So now the Holy Spirit flows through you and I as stewards of his power and authority. The Holy Spirit flows through you. You are the steward of his power and authority. And remember, one of the things Isaiah, because we looked all through Isaiah 54, one of the things Isaiah said when he was talking about this era, one of the things he said, we talked about it earlier, he told us to enlarge the place of our tent. He told us to stretch out. He told us to make room for more of the power of the Holy Spirit to flow through us. This is who we are. This is what Isaiah was prophesying about. And so it's important for us to understand that as stewards of everything he's entrusted to us, he's entrusted his promises, his victories, he's entrusted his power, his authority, he's entrusted that to us as his stewards. And we are the stewards of those things today in this age. And we are, as we are wise stewards, we become those precious stones. In his view, in his vision, we are those precious stones. How do we see ourselves? See, we tend to see ourselves as failed individuals. We see our flaws, we see our weaknesses. But we should see ourselves in the spiritual realm. Because in the spiritual realm, you are these beautiful gemstones. You are these precious stones, beautiful, that Jesus is using today to build his spiritual house. This is who we are. We are the living stones. We are the gems that Jesus is using to build that spiritual house. We've seen this before, but let's look at it again. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 5. You also, you, as living stones, you are those beautiful gemstones. I told you. Mine is the color of orange, purple, and blue, all mixed together. Has anybody thought about what your colors are? Because blue is beautiful, purple's fun, orange is happy. That's the color. You didn't see it up there when Donna showed those pictures, but there's going to be a purple, orange, and blue stone. Have you thought about what your stone's going to look like? Nobody else thinks about these things but me. It's going to be beautiful. Whatever it is, it's going to be beautiful. It is right now. And that's why we need to see ourselves in that spiritual realm. Instead of seeing ourselves as flawed and failed with weaknesses, see yourself as those beautiful. Remember, those stones only become beautiful like that when they are prepared, when they are cut properly, and when they are polished for preparation. That is our life. That is what we do. When we come together on Sundays and hear the Word of God, when we encourage ourselves throughout the week, when you spend time in the Word, when you live in Jesus Christ, this is what you're doing. You are making yourself prepared. you are being cut properly and you are being polished. Addison's being polished right now. She's getting ready to preach the word of God. This is who we are in Jesus Christ. And this is the way that we need to see ourselves. So in Isaiah chapter 54, when the prophet is speaking about those precious stones, when he's speaking about those colorful gems, he's talking about you and I today in this church age as the body of Christ. That's what he's talking about. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. But we are also that wall that is being talked about by Isaiah. We are that wall that Jesus is building today. And why is it significant? Why is it important that we are being built into that wall? Well, let's look and see what Isaiah exactly says about this, specifically about the wall and about this church age, this time that we're in today, this time of the new covenant that we live in. So go back and look at Isaiah chapter 54. Look at verse 12 specifically. He says, and again, Isaiah is speaking about this moment in time, "I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all of your walls of precious stones." So we're going to look through all those things, but we're going to look at it in reverse order. We're going to look at it from the walls, then the gates, and then the pinnacles. So let's start with the walls. Isaiah says that Jesus is building walls with precious stones. That's us. We are those living stones in Jesus Christ. But a wall is a border or a boundary. That's the definition that you see when you look up wall in the biblical definitions. It is a boundary. It is a border. That's us. We are, as stewards of the Word of God, we stand as a wall. We stand as a border. We stand as a boundary. We stand in the gap for other people. We are the defense against the darkness of this world because we are the representatives of Jesus Christ in the world today. He's building us into a wall. This is why it's important. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, but he's also using the gemstones, the precious stones of you that have been prepared, that have been cut properly, and have been polished. He's using you as part of that wall, that defense, standing in the gap for other people. Now, while Isaiah speaks about the wall, he just says precious stones. John, when John talks about the wall, John is very specific. John says the walls are made of jasper. Listen to this description of jasper. And this is a description. I didn't get this from any kind of biblical resource. This is a description of jasper that I got from a gemstone website. It's not biblical at all. It had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. This is what that gemstone website, this is how it describes jasper. It says, "Jasper comes in all colors, and it is mostly striped, spotted, and flamed." Now, I told you guys, I always have a different stone. This is a jasper stone. Now, I've seen lots of jasper. It does come in lots of different colors. But see, I carry stones because I want to be reminded every day. I put my hand in this pocket, and I know, I am reminded that this is who I am in Jesus Christ. I'm reminded that I'm a part of that wall, that he's using me. I am a precious stone in Jesus Christ, and he has plans for me. He has plans for me today. I want to be reminded of that. I want to be reminded that if I'm not the one who praises, that the stones themselves will call out in praise. I want to be reminded of who I am and what my function is. So jasper. Jasper comes in all colors. It's striped, it's spotted, and it's flamed. Let's look at those qualities, those attributes of jasper. So first of all, it says that jasper comes in all colors. This is us. This is who we are. If you remember a few weeks ago when we were talking about stewards, being stewards and what it was to be a steward, one of the things that we talked about was that we are the multicolored. Remember that color wheel? We are the multicolored examples of Jesus' grace. In other words, when Jesus is creating us as those precious stones, when he is preparing us, when he's cutting us, when he's polishing us, What he does is he gives each one of us, we have all the victories, we have everything he's promised us, we're given stewardship of all of that, but he's also made us stewards, and we saw this, of individual spiritual talents that he has personally chosen for you and invested in you. And you are a unique creation. There's no one else like you. Now, somebody else might have the same spiritual gift and talent that you do, but just because someone else has that talent doesn't mean that it's not imperative that you use yours. Because the same gift and talent, that light of Jesus Christ with that gift and talent, shines through you differently than it shines through someone else, because you are a unique creation. His light in that specific talent can only shine through you in that color, in that way that he's intended through you. No one else can do that. We are the multicolored examples of the grace of Jesus Christ. Each one of us, we are jasper. Each one of us, we are different colored stones that he is using to build that wall, to be what he's called us to be, to accomplish his work, and to build that spiritual house that he's building here in this day and age, in this era of the church, in this era of the new covenant. Here's the second quality that we see. It says that jasper is flamed. I haven't figured out the spotted. But the flamed, I don't know what that means, but I think that is such an awesome description. Again, that's not coming from a biblical resource. That is coming from a gemstone website. It says that jasper is flamed. That took my mind right back to the book of Nehemiah. In the book of Nehemiah, remember, Nehemiah was the one that was commissioned by God because the Israelites had been in exile and the city of Jerusalem had been destroyed. Now, while they were in exile, Ezra had come back and they'd started to rebuild the temple. But the walls of Jerusalem were still totally destroyed, and it was a disgrace to God. So in exile, Nehemiah was commissioned by God, and he's a servant. He's not a free man, but he was commissioned by God to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. That's what we're talking about, the walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah was commissioned to rebuild those walls. When Nehemiah makes his way to Jerusalem, and he gets to do his first survey. He does a night survey of the walls. He realizes that he's going to be forced to rebuild these walls using burned stones. Stones that have been put to the flame. In fact, Nehemiah's own enemies mock him about this fact. At the end of Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 2, this is what his enemies say. This is the end of Nehemiah 4, 2. Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish? Stones that are burned. Even his enemies mock him because he's got to use stones that are burned. Listen, in this life, all of us feel life. We live in a fallen world. Bad things happen. And you know what? We can each, if we think about it, we can discourage ourselves. We can think about the times that we have been hurt and burned by life. As we go through life, you might feel like you've been scorched by this life. But understand this, by his stripes, because of his stripes, and again, stripes is yet another attribute that we see of jasper, by his stripes, we've been made the living stones, precious stones in him. And we've been strengthened by the fire of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. We are stones of jasper. And even if you feel like you've been scorched and burned by life, all that means is you are prepared. You are made ready for your place in the wall that he's building, just as it was in the time of Nehemiah. We are his precious stones, like jasper. Jasper covers each one of us because it comes in all colors. Now let's go to the next part that Isaiah talks about. Isaiah speaks also about the gates. It says that Jesus builds the gates into the walls of the city with crystal. Now, crystal looks a whole lot different than does jasper. We'll talk about crystal, get a picture of it. But think about the gates for a second. Because the gates are the means by which people enter into the city. Now, for those of you that were in Israel, one of the things that we learned while we were in Israel, and I hope you guys remember this, because we saw a lot of different places that had ruins. So we saw some ancient cities that were in ruin. And one of the things that we learned was in antiquity, the kings of the city-states would sit at the gate of the city. And it was the king sitting at the gate of the city that would decide who could enter into the city and who could not. Jesus is the king by the gate. And all who enter into his kingdom enter in only by him. But he has built us. He's built you and I. He's built us up as his gates. We are the gates. And it says that the gates were built of the gemstone of crystal. Here's one of the physical attributes of crystal. Crystals have amazing conductivity. They have amazing properties of conductivity. Crystal is very strong, very powerful at conducting both heat and electricity. Crystals, properties of conductivity. We are stewards of the Word of God. Now the Bible tells us the Word is living and active. There is an energy and a power with the Word of God. We are the crystals. We are the ones who conduct that power, that active, that life, that liberty in the Word. We are the crystals. We are the ones that conduct that as we speak the Word of God in faith. When we do that, we draw men into the gates. We draw men into the kingdom and into salvation. We are the gates made of crystal. We are the precious gems, the living stones that Jesus is using to build. And he's building a wall, but that wall is there for purposes. And you and I are being prepared, cut properly, and polished for presentation in our place in that wall that he's building today. And it's a wall that has access. So here's the final part, the pinnacles. It says that Jesus builds his pinnacles with rubies. Rubies are beautiful. Rubies have that beautiful red. Now, I'm going to give you a definition of rubies. And this is a definition that I found from... Annie, was it you that said you like rubies? It's your birthstone. Okay. It's beautiful, huh? This is a definition that I read. This is a definition that comes from, I think it was Strong's, I really can't remember, but it's a biblical definition of rubies. This is one of the things that the Bible says about rubies. Listen to this. It says that rubies were precious stones that were used by merchants, this is exactly what it says, to pay the price for goods and services. How appropriate is that? Because Jesus paid the price for our sins by his blood, red, the same color as the rubies. He's made us pinnacles through his blood by what he's done for us. And you know what? It's because of his blood that we are elevated to the highest place in him. That's what the pinnacles were. The pinnacles represent the highest place on the walls. We are elevated to our highest place in Jesus Christ. We are elevated to that place of sonship. Sonship with him. So let's be stewards. Let's be stewards operating in all that he has entrusted to us. Let's be wise stewards of everything that he has entrusted to us. The life that we have, these bodies, our money, our resources, his victories that he's entrusted to us, these special talents, spiritual gifts that he's given and invested in you, his power, his authority. Let's be wise stewards of all of those things that he's entrusted to us, because then he's using us, then he can use us as those stones that he is building with. Now, I won't take the time to show it to you, but you can look it up yourself in Luke chapter 6, I think it's verse number 35. It even talks to us about, it talks about the highest place. Pinnacles were the highest place. We are supposed to be the love of Jesus Christ and demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ to others. That's being part of the wall. And in that verse, it says, it's talking about operating in that love of Jesus Christ. And it shows that, and it actually says that that takes us to the heights and refers to us as children of God. We are, as children of God, we are at the highest place. In sonship with Him, we are at that highest place. Now, there's another place in the Bible. When we think about pinnacle, there's another place that talks about the pinnacle. Again, this is the highest place. And we see this in the Gospels. And when Satan was tempting Jesus, the second temptation is, he took Jesus, he took him to the pinnacle of the temple. And there, he tempted Jesus. Jesus, of course, withstood that. But I want you to get a picture of this. The temple itself, when the temple was a physical building, it faced eastward. Because it faced, for those of us who are in Israel, if you think about it, it faced over the Kidron Valley, and you saw from where the temple was, you could see the Mount of Olives across the Kidron Valley. Because the temple was set up so that it was facing the east, where Jesus said he would return in conquering victory. So the temple is faced there. You know what pinnacle means? Pinnacle means, in part, east side, and it also means daylight. When we, Jesus has made us the pinnacles. He's made us the highest point in Him as sons of God. We are at our highest when we are facing east, when we are looking towards the return of Jesus Christ, when we are operating in our lives, not thinking about self, but thinking about His return and what our responsibilities are, what He's given us stewardship over. We are at the highest place when we're looking to His return. That's when His daylight shines through us and we become those gemstones. When are gemstones the most beautiful? It's not when it's in your pocket. It's when you see it with the light reflecting off of it. That's when that daylight, the light of Jesus Christ Himself, shines. It's not reflecting through you. It is shining through that gemstone of you to accomplish the things that He wants to accomplish through each one of us. Amen? Y'all look stunned. Stoned, yeah. There you go. That's good, Dean. Set you up good on that one. So Isaiah is pointing to us. When Isaiah talks about all these things, he's pointing to us today. And he's pointing us and reminding us of the vital role that we play today, and the vital role that we play in God's plans and the plans that Jesus has for what is yet to come. So let's learn more about what it is to be a steward and what it is to be a steward and our role of a steward. Let's go back to the New Testament, I guess forward to the New Testament. We're going to look at I have two final verses, but one final thing that talks about stewards. This is one of the parables that talks about stewards. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 25. We're going to read verses 14 through 29. So I had to get a drink first. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 29. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and he dug a hole in the ground and he hid the Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. I told you guys last week. You know, we always think about good and faithful servant. We think about that as being when we depart from this life and go to the next. And truly, we will hear Jesus say, well, that's our goal. Well done, good and faithful servant. But I want to hear Him say that every day. That's what being a steward is. I want to lay my head down at night at the conclusion of every day and hear Him say the words to me, good job, son. Good job. It was a good day. Now I've got more I'm going to entrust you with tomorrow. That's what it is to be a good steward. That's what I want to hear every single day. I lost my place. 24, thank you. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him, give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. There is so much that is there. But there's a few key points I want us to look at. So in this story, in this account, in this parable, the Lord in this parable departs. He leaves his stewards for an undisclosed period of time. But he leaves them with the responsibility of his kingdom. And as he leaves them, he also entrusts each of his stewards. He entrusts them with his talents, with his wealth, with his resources. Now again, if you remember when we were talking about stewards a few weeks ago, if you remember, one of the things we did is very early on, we looked at definitions of the word steward. There's a lot of different definitions. But one of the lesser definitions really comes into play here, because one of the other definitions of a steward, it means a dispensation. So what's a dispensation? We talked about that earlier. Remember, I used dispensation in the same phrase where I talked about a time or an era. Well, this is what a dispensation is. A dispensation is a special period of time management. That's stewardship. Dispensation is a special period of time management. Stewardship. We live in just such a time right now. This is exactly what Isaiah was talking about. He was talking about today in the church age, those of us who live as new covenant believers. He has made us. He's left for a time, but he has made us responsible for his kingdom. And he has entrusted to each one of us talents, his resources, all the many things we've talked about that he's entrusted to us and more. He's left those things for us. But Jesus is coming back. He's coming back, but to us, as his stewards, he has called us to manage everything that he has invested in us. We are in that season in between. We're in that season where we are the ones who represent Jesus Christ. We are. You can see why he's building us into a wall. So it is that defense as we stand in the gap for others. We are the gate. We are at our heights. We have the power and the authority of Jesus Christ by his blood. When we accepted it, we have that position of sonship. And we become those precious stones that he is building the wall with. The walls on the outside, the walls of Jerusalem. This is what he's called us and made us to be. Does that make sense? So he's coming back. But he's entrusted us to manage those things. We are to operate in his power, in his authority, according to his will, not our own, and to his glory. Now, when you consider those two faithful stewards in that parable, the first two stewards, they knew the character of their Lord. And they knew exactly what their Lord expected of them as stewards. And it says in verses 16 and 17 that they traded with their talents and they gained 100% return for their Lord. Now that third steward, his relationship with the Lord was different. It was not a relationship of love, faith, and trust. He was lazy. He did not use the talents that the Lord had left with him. And as such, he had no gain for his Lord. And so when the Lord returned, the Lord rebuked him. The expectation is clear. We are to use. We are to be stewards, wise and faithful stewards, over everything that Jesus has entrusted to us. And I can't pass it off to someone else and say, someone else has the same skills. Someone else has the same abilities. I am a gemstone that his light shines through me differently than it does you. But he's using all of those gemstones to build. To build the wall, to build the gates, to build the pinnacles. He's using all of those gemstones for his purposes in this season. It is imperative that each one of us, it's imperative for him. This is our role as stewards. We are helping to bring forth what he has coming. You are part of his plan for what is coming. But he builds with us. The third steward didn't have that. Now, notice that the two stewards that were wise and faithful stewards, notice that it says that they traded with their talents. What does it mean to trade with your talents? Well, according to Strong's dictionary, the word trade means to do work. It means to do labor. It means to be committed to do, to labor for, to be about ministry. That's what it means. That's what they were doing. That's what you and I are called to do. We are called. We are stewards. And as stewards, we are supposed to be trading with those talents that he's given us. In other words, we are supposed to be committed to working, to using his talents and abilities, to using everything that he has entrusted to us as individuals, to using all of those things to bring about his glory and to do his will. We are his living stones. And we are supposed to be utilizing his gifts, his talents, his power, his ability. We're supposed to be utilizing all of those things to bring forth a 100% return from this life. That's what can be expected. That's what each one of us can expect. 100% return of everything he's invested in us. 100% return back to him, to his glory, and for him. Use. Work, labor, use the gifts, the talents, everything is entrusted to you. Use it, and you will see that he will entrust you with more. Let me conclude with this. When David was raising funds for the temple of the Lord that his son Solomon would build, it says that the people gave abundantly of all that they had for the building of the temple. But the verse, when it says the people gave abundantly of all they had, the verse is very specific. It says they gave their precious stones. This is a picture. It's an illustration. It's what was of the old, but we are the new. We are in this day and age, in this era, in this dispensation, as new covenant believers. We are the ones. We are the precious stones. And in the same way that they gave abundantly of their precious stones, should give abundantly of all we are as his precious stones. Here's how it actually says it. This is in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 8 and 9. And whoever had precious stones, whoever had precious stones, you and I are those precious stones. Whoever had precious stones gave them to the treasury, to the house of the Lord, into the hands of Jehiel, the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for they had offered willingly because of with a loyal heart they had offered willingly to the Lord. And King David also rejoiced greatly. The King of Kings, he rejoices in our service and in our stewardship to him. The King of Kings rejoices in you as his colorful gems and precious stones that he is building with. I told you guys at the beginning, as you walk out of here today, see yourself walking out. You are worth your weight to him as his precious stones that he's preparing, cutting properly, and polishing for presentation to be used in that wall that he is building, to be used in the gates, to be used in that pinnacle. This is who we are. Rejoice in being the temple of the Holy Spirit, but rejoice also in being the wall. Rejoice in being given the opportunity to willingly give your life in service to him as a steward being used in the spiritual house he's building here in this age. This is who we are, what we're called to. Amen. Jesus, help us to see ourselves through your vision, how you see us, Help us to see ourselves as those precious stones. And we make ourselves available because we want you to continue to prepare us, to cut us, and to polish us for presentation, because we are ready to be placed in the wall, to take our place in that which you're building. For we praise you and thank you, as just like the people in Jerusalem of old in David's time, just like them, we joyously and willingly give these precious stones to you. We thank you and praise you in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.